email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So 51551 for your text. Now, in front of me, we have Adele and Laura O'Brien. Is that O'Brien Farrell?
Yes, my father would be.
Sorry, a double barrel. I was getting Adele O'Brien all the time. And I just noticed the Farrell there. So sorry about that. Thanks so much for coming in. You came up from where?
Mullingar.
Right, okay. And you have a fascinating story. It's not unique, but it's fairly unique in that not many people have gone through what you've gone through. So we'll throw it out and then we'll go through the details.
Perfect. Yes.
Right. So if you were in a circle, you know the way that people are in the circles and they're sitting down and you go, hello, my name is Adele O'Brien. Yeah. And my claim to fame is?
I got a kidney transplant 43 years ago and I got another one then. St. Valentine's Day last year from my daughter. My first one I got from my mother and my second one I got from Laura, who's here beside me.
Your daughter?
My daughter. My lovely daughter.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yes, I'm a very privileged, very lucky girl. Yes.
Yeah. And you're only in your 50s.
Oh, early 50s.
Early 50s,
well,
I can still say that.
I suppose, can't I?
Laura's good, throwing her eyes to heaven there.
No, she's very young.
Yeah. Right, okay, so let's go back. You were nine.
I was nine at the time when I was diagnosed with kidney failure.
Right.
And
a different time then. What year was it?
That was 1978.
Right.
I was eventually sent to Dublin. I started off in Jervis Street and sent out to St Mary's in the Phoenix Park, where I spent the bones of a year in hospital. Coming and going, but I was mostly in the hospital. And eventually, December of that year, my mother was able to give me a transplant.
And here's the thing. This is another mad part of the story, because you went around the houses looking for a match.
Well, yes.
And it turns out your mother was a match, but there was a bit of a problem.
Well, both my parents at the time went forward and my dad thought he was going to be the lucky or the chosen one.
Yes.
Because they came for him to do bloods and twice. But no, Mammy's was a better match. So Mammy's was done at the time.
Yeah.
So.
But go on. Yeah, and give us the detail. She was pregnant.
She was pregnant with JP, my younger brother.
Look, I have the story in front of me.
He was a late arrival. He was two weeks overdue.
Yeah.
And so he was born in the end of August. So to give her time, they held on to me and I was on dialysis and everything else until December. So we got the transplant was done on the 15th of December, 1978.
Your poor mother.
My poor mother, yes.
Would that happen now? Well, I
don't know what happens in that situation. Yes. The chances are they wouldn't do it now.
Yeah.
They'd be waiting for an outside donor. But then I was very sick at the time. So they were just about keeping me alive.
Were they? Right.
Ah, yeah, they were, yeah.
Yeah. So. And were you aware of that as a nine-year-old?
I did, you know, it was being done in secret. And then I was so sick. But I remember the conversations. And I was just lucky that I was able to get the kidney and bounce back to life again.
So your brother was born.
Yes.
JP?
JP.
1978. Probably there was a lot of talk about himself coming.
He was the second pope that,
And then your mother recuperated from that.
She did, yeah.
Just in time to give you one of her kidneys. And just because you've had these chats and you've been involved in the Irish Kidney Association and all that, it was a different time. Now everybody is aware about organ donation and the Irish Kidney Association and carrying your card and all that sort of thing. But back then it was big news, wasn't it?
It was. But then back then the facilities for dialysis was very poor. There was a branch in Castlebar and in Cork and in Dublin. Like where the branches now are everywhere, it was very difficult for people to get transport to get dialysis a few times a week.
Mm.
And it just wasn't possible for a lot of people that, you know.
And I suppose that's the nature of you know, modernisation of our health system, is that a lot of people would have died who wouldn't die now.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And you were famous. You appeared on the cover of the newspaper.
At the time I did, yes. Right. Yes.
Because St Mary's in Phoenix Park.
Yeah. Right, President Hillary was the president at the time and he always did the rounds on Christmas Day. He'd come over to the hospital and our photograph was on the front of the paper the next day.
Right. Both you and your mum were recuperating.
Yeah.
Does your mum slag you over the years about having her kidney?
Not too bad, mummy. No, she wouldn't. No.
Not only like, did I give birth to you, I gave you a kidney as well.
She probably should, but
Because you hear about how long it's going to last. And were you told at that stage how long it might last, when you might need another one?
Well, at the time, it was to kind of get me back growing and get me into an adulthood where now they tell you, you know, you might get 10 to 15 years.
Right.
Where my kidney was such a match that I was just extremely lucky.
Uh-huh.
And it did last the length of time. You know, in the last number of years, it was going downhill in a you know, it started I kept going, and I was lucky enough that I wasn't on dialysis much. I was on it and off it.
So when did it start to give up on you then, your mother's kidney?
Probably about 4 years ago.
Right.
Kind of, it was coming to very close to the end.
Right. And then you had to do the rounds again.
We did,
looking for matches. And I believe your husband, Mr. Farrell, John Farrell.
Yes.
I've read some of his work. that John... was stepping up to the plate.
John, well, my consultant first asked, how well do you get on with your husband? And I says, would he give you a kidney? I says, well, sure, I'll ask, you know. And of course, he stepped up, and he was actually, he went through all the rounds of testing and psychologists and social workers, and like that lasted 6 months. And unfortunately, his kidney wasn't successful.
Right.
And he was actually very disappointed that he couldn't go through with it.
Yeah.
And then after that, my brother JP, the famous JP, he went forward, and his wasn't successful. So that was a year of testing.
It takes that long, does it?
It does, yeah. So, and then it was all in the middle of COVID. And then Laura was mad to go test it, and so she flew through it, really.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Hero.
Well,
So now when they ask who's your favourite?
Oh, we're not allowed to joke about that.
Oh, yeah.
No, those jokes do not go down well in our house. Everyone is loved equally in our house.
Well, I gave you my kidney. Come on.
Well, she can always throw it back at
me. So you were aware of what was going on, obviously. And were you itching to put your hand up or...?
Yeah, well, I think like from our side, because first of all, we've always known that this would come. It was never, I guess, in our house, a big surprise. We always knew that this day would likely come, and absolutely, it was a no-brainer for me to put my hand up and, you know, do it. As I always say, it was her kidney. She grew it. I've just given it back to her. So, I was delighted to
Fair
go
trade,
forward.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But it is, and I've spoken to loads of people, but I'm still in awe of it. You know, that you would, because at every point along the way, I'd imagine when you're going through the consultation and there's sort of counselling as well, you were given the opportunity to step back, aren't you?
Even on the morning beforehand, it was like, you sure now, you know, we can, they were always willing to work with me. They were always on my side in that regard. But like, there was never an inkling at all. It was a very easy decision for me to go ahead.
So they have to establish that you're not under pressure from your parents.
Yeah, I was grilled, like absolutely grilled. There was no, I was under no pressure to do it, that I was okay with doing it, and that there was no ulterior motive or anything that way. So I can confirm that there was nothing
there
in
was
my
no
favor.
Money passed.
There's the will.
No, it was definitely nothing. I better say categorically.
Yeah.
No, it was at any point, but no. The testing was easy as well and everything, but it was a very easy decision.
And I suppose because it's so common now, you could look around you and see how other people had donated their kidneys and they were living a full, healthy life. Indeed, your granny, case in point.
Yeah, exactly. Because we could see Myra and she's flying around still. So like it was again an easy decision. And beyond that, then the team in Beaumont really made sure, it's like, you know, I think you can survive on a quarter of a kidney at this stage. So you really like it was a very easy decision for me in that sense. So, it's great.
But what then if it, you know, and that's probably, I'm interested in this. What if you damage the kidney you have, then you have to be extra careful, don't you?
Yeah, within reason. So I thankfully wouldn't play professional rugby or anything that way. So yeah, so within reason, I have to be careful about what I do, but I can still live my own life very much every day. Like I can still ski, I can still run and do all of those things if I want to. So yeah, it doesn't really impact too much, which is great.
And you're in your 30s.
Yes.
So you had Laura quite young.
Yes, I was 20, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right. Yeah. And yourself and John were childhood sweethearts?
We were. We went to Cleggan school. I went to Cleggan and I met John while I was in Cleggan. Yeah.
Right.
He went to Mullingar. He went to St. Finian's Mullingar.
Isn't that lovely that he was itching to give you a kidney? I love that.
There's a lot of couples now doing it and it works out very well. That is kind of kept in that circle.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd say it strengthens a relationship. Not that I'm saying that yourself and John need to be, you know, strengthened, but
the fact that he was willing to do it.
So the day in question, then. So it's you have to. It's a big operation for you, and obviously a big operation for you. Are you in separate parts of the hotel?
No, it wasn't a hotel. It was Beaumont. But we were very well looked after in Beaumont. There's a special section ward. It's an isolation ward in Beaumont Hospital, only for transplants and anyone that's after getting a transplant. They go straight back there. They go in the day before and it's nobody can access the ward. So to keep it completely...
Yes. And I suppose with COVID, that was particularly important. So you went into quarantine before?
We were to have the operation the 6th of January and we were in isolation from Stephen's Day onwards.
Right.
And then unfortunately a lot of the staff in the ward got COVID. So they were working on skeleton staff, so we were pushed on into February.
Right.
So the 14th of February it happened.
Okay. Just give me the schedule for the day. Who gets operated on first?
Well, Laura was called first. Yeah. We went in on the Sunday afternoon. Laura drove up from Mullingar and we brought our suitcases in and went up to the ward and settled in. And Laura actually left. She had parked her car at the hospital. So she went home with her car. And she even washed the floor in her kitchen.
Good bit of detail.
She was so relaxed, that's what you're saying. She was going to be back in the kitchen or in her house for a couple of weeks.
Yes, yeah.
So she came back to the hospital then, and then the next morning we were up early. She was up earlier than me because they brought her down first.
Yeah,
and then I went down around 1 o'clock. And so we were side by side. So once the kidney is out, then it's checked to see everything's normal. And then I was brought in and put under anaesthetic and then my operation.
Are you in the same theatre at the one time? No,
they're side by side.
Are they?
Yeah.
Right. You could hear me waking
up. I could. They were trying to wake Laura up when I was going in.
Right.
And
which was nice.
Yeah,
I knew that I was all right the other side.
And then... Laura, when eventually you see your mother knowing that she has your kidney in her body, is that emotional? Or?
Oh, it was a big day. Yeah. So like the Sunday for me going in, I was the healthiest person in Beaumont that night. You know, I like was so healthy going in. And then Monday went in for the operation and the operation went well. I came back up and I was full of meds, but the first thing I wanted to know was mom okay? And they were able to let me know that she was passing urine perfectly at that point, so everything had worked straight away. So they were delighted with how the whole thing had went, and that was the main thing for us. A few phone calls that day that I'd say if they were recorded, we were, you know, definitely still of the
morphine level.
But like it was a great day. It was a very emotional day for us, for us all, and I think the morning went by for me so quickly because I was first down, so I was busy, whereas you had more time that morning to think about what was coming up.
It was lunchtime before I was brought down.
And of course now you're approaching it as an adult as opposed to a very, very sick 9-year-old.
Yeah.
But as Laura was saying, you had years and years, you knew this was coming.
Oh, well, I would have. Yes, yeah. In the back of my mind, I would have. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing about it, which is amazes me, is that the effect is immediate.
Oh, yeah. It just works. Yeah. It's like night and day. That's the only way to describe a transplant. That your skin, everything just changes. Your it's new blood in the system, as I call it, and it just works.
Switch.
Yeah, it is like a light bulb switch.
Right.
And it's just, the feeling is fantastic.
Yeah. So it's Organ Donation Week.
Yes.
And we're happy to remind people that ultimately they have to have the chat, because it doesn't matter what you have in your driver's license, what card you carry, it will be the decision of your family if there is a tragedy. And they will have to decide in the throes of sadness whether they can donate your organs or not. So you have to have that chat now with them. And it can be in a nice chat. Look, if ever anything happens, I would like my organs to be donated. And that's it, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Yeah. And you can save lives.
Save lives. Give somebody else the chance.
Yeah, yeah. And what a great legacy then for the person who's gone, to know that you've given life to somebody else. It's just so wonderful.
Well, even for them afterwards, at least they have a feeling, there's something good has happened.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, they mightn't have the person they want, but somebody else is getting a chance at life again.
Or a number of people.
A number of people between lungs and heart.
And even again, because people, there's been a lot of talk over the years about this opting out. They do that in some countries where it's taken that everybody is donating and people can opt out. And that's coming down the tracks here. But again, you will have to have the conversation, because
It hasn't just passed into law.
Even at that, when it comes to the thing, the family will have to give permission. That's always going to be the case.
A very easy decision. Like, for me, it was the easiest decision to make, and I would hope that other families would be able to see it that way. It's a tough decision to make when you're in that situation, but it can really make a difference.
And you're 100%?
Not a bother on me.
Right.
A bother on me. I bounce back pretty quickly. Bounce back, and then COVID was behind us, so we all had a pretty great summer after that.
And you mentioned running, so...
Running, slowly starting to get back properly into running, but I'm back now, so registered for the August, Antrim Half in August, properly kick up the whole
thing. And what is it similar to? Is there any surgery that it might be comparable to?
So somebody described it to me as similar to a C-section, really. Right. It's like, think about all the incisions and everything, it's similar. So couldn't drive for about 6 weeks, and that was it. Then, I was fine. I strolled back into Beaumont 6 weeks after, not a bother on me. So it was great. It was a really easy decision. So, yeah.
And what about Granny? What did she think of all of this?
She's delighted. She's just delighted. She was up with us in the Mansion House last week for the launch of Donor Week, and she was delighted to be part of it.
Yeah. Well, lovely to hear your story. Three generations, two kidneys, one person.
That's it.
Is that something like that? There's a book in it. There's definitely a book in it. So are you Laura O'Brien Farrell, or?
Jeez, I'm just Laura Farrell. Oh my
right.
God.
Oh, sorry, oh sorry,
my poor
sorry,
father.
Sorry, 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 John. Apologies.
No, I'm very much Laura Farrell.
Laura Farrell.
We're in business in Mullingar, so we've a Centra Circle K site in Mullingar. So that's why I'm well known as O'Brien.
Oh, you're right. Okay. And we might see you, because we're coming to Mullingar to run.
That's it.
You're welcome to join us. And you can, would both of you are welcome to join us.
I'll feed you on the day.
Great. Okay, that's a deal. Laura and Adele, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.